Haunting Ghoulies.
Alright, kiddies, I bow in the presence of greatness. On my bone phone, I am graced to have esteemed home haunters and authors of How to Haunt Your House, Lynn and Sean Mitchell. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing good.
I'm blown away that when I was reading your book, and I look at the back page in the other resource section, and I see hauntcast.net listed in there. I was like, are you kidding? Holy shit, I can't believe that.
By the skin of your teeth, you got in there.
Oh my God, I couldn't even believe that you guys put me in there. I was like, are you kidding me? Wow. I found out that you guys were married on Halloween, so how did that end up coming about?
It was real easy because that way I can never forget what day we got married.
And if you did, then you were really screwed.
Exactly, you know. That way we can also throw a party, you know, all over the world. You know, hey, they're celebrating our anniversary.
Nice. How long have you guys been married?
Since 1992.
Did you have a Halloween party that night? Was it like a reception slash Halloween party? Or
the whole ceremony was a Halloween party, really. People came in costumes. Lynn had made her dress, and it was an all-black dress. I was wearing an all-black. The wedding ring was on a severed hand. And, you know, it was just one big party, the whole thing.
That is sweet. Now, I am a DJ by trade, and most of my business is weddings, you know, DJing weddings. I never get work on Halloween. Granted, I'm busy doing my haunt, so I'm not that concerned that I work that night. I actually prefer that I don't. But I think that would be so kick-ass to do a Halloween wedding party. And I have to come across it in my almost 20 years of DJing weddings. So one of these days, I'll find a couple like you that will hire me for it, I guess.
Aww.
All right, so what motivated you two to get into haunting in the first place?
I mean, we've always been the fan, like, of Disney's Haunted Mansion. I mean, every haunter, you know, that's out there, it's always, you know, says, you know, that's the epitome of what we're trying to get to. Since both of us are artists, we always loved, you know, what Mark Davis and Claude Coates, the two original artists, did with the Haunted Mansion. And what was so unique is that Mark was more of a cartoonist, and Claude was more of a serious artist, and that's like Lynn and I. We're both, you know, those types of extremes. So when you put us together, we take it one step further. So with them being that type of style being our base and being huge fans of Vincent Price, Peter Lorre, Claude Rains, you know, all the great horror films, it was just one outlook that we had to go for. You know, here it is. Nobody really is doing this at the time in our area. Let's go for Halloween.
You two both grew up in haunted houses. Did I read that correctly?
Yep.
When you say that, what do you mean? Like, you grew up in houses that were actually haunted, or your parents, like, haunted the houses like we haunt the houses?
Well, real haunted houses. His parents' house is haunted, and at one time I lived in a house with my mom and my sister that was it was more like a poltergeist haunting, but it was definitely something to remember.
Nobody got, like, sucked into the closet?
No. But that was one of my favorite movies.
Well, there was one time at a party we were at that we got kind of sucked into the closet, but that's a different story.
Yeah, we won't go there. I mean, you know, usually I would go there in this show, but I'm limited on time, so we'll have to save that for another interview.
I think what it did is it led us with our haunt to realize that it's not the actual guy with the chainsaw that scares you. It's the sound of the chainsaw. It's knowing that he's out there, not seeing him, but knowing what could happen. Because I remember laying in bed and hearing someone walking down the hallway, knowing that everybody was asleep. I remember seeing the books slowly, one by one, falling off the shelf in the room and realizing that it wasn't the book that was falling, but what was going to happen next. So that's kind of what we started doing with our haunt.
Yeah, I noticed that with some of the best haunts that are out there. They're not going for a gore factor. It's like a creep factor. It's an ambiance thing. That it's not like, yeah, the guy chasing you, running at you with the chainsaw, but it's, yeah, it's the whole, you're worried about, like, what's going to pop up from behind the tree or behind this or that.
And that's what we try to aim for, because we're not really going for the blood and guts, and we're not really going for the chainsaw massacre type people. We're going more for the old classic horror film. You know, we're going for that old style, hey, you can bring your kid in and get scared, without having to worry about yanking them back from somebody chasing after them.
Yeah, and dealing with the therapy lessons for the next year and a half after, you know.
Amen to that one.
Now, you two are both professional artists, So is that what pays the bills?
We actually have real jobs during the day, but our art is our main hobby. I mean, we do utilize that in our jobs and things as much as we can, but...
They call it starving artists for
yeah.
a reason. In today's market, it's hard to pay the bills being a full-time artist. And we realized that years ago. So we kind of do our real jobs during the day. And then when we come home at night, we start working on our second jobs.
The haunt.
The haunt and the art.
Oh, that's the third job. I'm sorry.
We've got three jobs now.
Only three jobs? You lazy man. What's up with you only three jobs? How much time do you think you invest in your haunt?
Months.
Exactly.
We literally, in our living room right now, there is Bucky's sitting on the couch, there's Halloween candles being made, there's part of a costume over in the other corner. It's one of the things that we'll work on while we're watching TV, or while we're surfing the web, waiting for something to dry.
Okay, so in 2007, your house was featured by FearNet on Route 666, America's Scariest Haunted Houses. How did that come about?
We were on the DVD collection by PropMaster, and I think that's how everyone who was on that series got discovered. And they just called us up and said, we'd like to make you a part of that.
It was a contest, right?
Well, there was the series that was 30 haunts, and then there was the contest. So there were two separate things that went together there.
I mean, I saw the video, actually, that you had on the website. I mean, they did a really nice job with it. I mean, your haunt looks unbelievable. I mean, it's just so kick-ass.
We got lucky. We had a photographer that came down who had been filming body part shows for the Discovery Channel. And when I say that, he was actually doing documentaries of a hospital that had buried their dead, and he had done other gore and horror-type filming. So he knew kind of what he was looking for, and he just came in and said, okay, the graveyard, we're going to shoot it from the ground up, we're going to do this. So we got lucky, and he was a local photographer. That made it even better.
When did you start this haunt in Pensacola?
5 years ago.
So you've only been doing it 5 years.
Exactly. I mean, we were started to do Christmas. Being in the Bible Belt, you know, Christmas is a big thing, so everybody's doing Christmas, and they didn't like the idea of us having Scooby-Doo being chased by an evil Santa Claus across the roof, or the Grinch rimping down all the Christmas ornaments, you know. They said it was taken a little bit to the extreme, you know. Here was, you know, the corpse out in the front yard, you know, in his elf gear. So we decided to make a deal with the neighbors. They take Christmas, and we'll take Halloween.
All right, yep. Look, let's get right to your book, because that's the hot news, and that's all the chatter out there on the forums and the blogs right now. To be honest with you, I think I creamed my pants when I was reading through this thing. It was just such an unbelievable book. Not only aesthetically, just amazing, it is just jam-packed with all kinds of cool techniques and little tips. I mean, I think anybody who is a newbie haunter who doesn't pay the $35, just pony it up and buy this thing, is making their life so much harder. I mean, yeah, you can find a lot of stuff in the forums that, you know, that has some of the tips and tricks in there. But just to have it all compiled in one great book, it's like you grab them by the hand and you kind of walk them through. Okay, these are the tools, and these are materials you need, and this is what they're called, this is what Monster Mud is. You know, you've only been doing this for like 5 years, and you've ramped up. I mean, you went from like 0 to 60 in like, you know, just such a short period of time. Well, the first year in 2005, you must have been like full out that year making props and stuff, huh?
Yeah, well, we were going to have a party. It was our first time we'd have a real Halloween party, and we had to go further than just inside the house. So we made this huge little cemetery, and that is totally how it started. We weren't planning to do any kind of yearly thing after that, but we had a lot of neighbors come by and they loved it, so we thought, okay, we'll try this again, and kept on going.
And it was the Pepper's Ghost, because nobody else was really doing those at the time, and in a yard haunt, that's what kind of got everybody to start looking at us.
That's probably your trademark prop, I would guess, is it?
Yes.
Now,
yeah, they know it's for Boney.
What is the name Pepper's Ghost? Does that come from something? Is that an old movie term or something, or what is that?
Actually, what happened is that there was Henry Derricks was the first person who created the Pepper's Ghost, and he called it a Derricks Phantasmagoria.
Yeah.
And he tried to use it with some magic shows. It didn't work. So John Pepper, in 1863, took his idea and used it on the stage production of Charles Dickens' The Haunted Man, and people were blown away. They had never seen a ghost physically in front of them. So John Pepper's got his name associated with his Pepper's ghost. And it's been used by magicians forever. I mean, they have always used reflectiveness. In fact, the military uses the Pepper's ghost with their heads-up display. It's called a HUD. And it's like in the C-130Js or the FLA's 18Cs. In the jet planes, when they're looking at the sky ahead of them, then they have a reflected piece of glass with their instruments on it. So they never have to take their eyes directly off the horizon view.
Where did you learn the whole concept behind it?
We read about it in books, how to do it. But we really got the idea was it was a stormy night. There was a lot of lightning outside. And I'm standing looking outside the window. Lynn comes up behind me with the flashlight. And I saw her in the reflective glass and scared the living shit out of myself. And that's where it came up. That's where we started going, oh, if it works that well just by accident, oh, yeah, we got to use this in the backyard.
How many Pepper's ghosts do you have going? It looked like you had more than one. You had a couple going, right?
We have different kinds. Something we used the TV with the crystal ball, that was actually a DVD we bought the first year. And then we made Boney, and then we've got some which are just printed or on something flat, so it's not really something that moves. It's just a static image that's reflected in glass. And they're kind of the little children ghosts that stand out in the back of the graveyard.
The creepy kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are sweet. For Pepper's ghost, can you use a flat screen like a plasma or an LCD, or does it have to be a tube TV?
No, it could be anything.
Oh, so it will work with a flat screen?
Yes, anything that can reflect in a 45-degree angle piece of glass.
Boney is a little guy who crawls out of the grave, right? The little...
Correct.
Okay, so cool. Did you make that yourself?
Yes. That was our test, our very first test to see if it would work. And he was just a little prop we had. And because he was small, he would fit inside the TV view when you reflected it. So it wouldn't look kind of weird if it was like this little, too big of a person, or in other words. And he worked so good that, you know, we've used him ever since.
Is that like stop motion? Is that how you did that?
No, we just used a regular camera to film him. Sean was actually on the one side of the kitchen counter, and he kind of raised up the toy. And I was filming it, and we had a black backdrop behind it. And so there was just a very little amount of editing of the video once we had that little clip.
We used them like a puppet.
Exactly.
Oh, that is so cool.
As long as the background is black of whatever you're using, you can use it straight off the camera.
You know what was funny? I was sitting there, and I was picking the lint out of my belly button, right, a couple months ago. And I was wondering, I'm sitting there going, what can I there's got to be a use for this. And then I was flipping through, and I was looking at your fake moss. And I'm like, there we go. Now I've got a use for the lint out of my belly button. But
recycling.
No, I won't give away all the details there. Buy the book, people. I'm not giving you all the details. I was looking at that, and I was down on my dryer, and I was cleaning out the lint catcher, and I seriously did have it in my hand, and I'm saying, you know, I bet you I can use this somehow in Haunting. I know I could do something with this clump of nothing. And then I was flipping through your book, and I saw that section, and I'm like, oh, my God, I was just thinking about that. Evil geniuses we are, I guess, right? I know a lot of people, they'll make a tombstone, and they'll just use it like a Dremel, and they'll carve out a date and a name on there, and, you know, paint it up and give it a dry brush effect to give the aging. But that's pretty much it. Your tombstones are a lot more detailed.
That comes from our artistic backgrounds there. We've got to put all that detail in there.
I'm like, you don't need all that detail. They're just tombstones. Then I looked at the video, and then you see it how everything in context is all together. And then I realized, now I get it. When you put the extra effort in, it definitely...
it makes for better photographs, too.
It pays.
You got to remember, a lot of people see it during the day.
You got a lot of people coming by in the daytime, huh?
Exactly. So, you know, and if you're going to be doing day shots, you might as well have something looks good then too.
A couple other cool things. I love the, you know, some of the stuff that you were doing with the glue sticks, like the hand impressions. I'm actually doing the candle project right now, as a matter of fact.
Great. Cool.
I'm working on that. What are you unleashing this year on the Tots? Do you have anything really special that you two are cooking up?
We've got some new stuff in the works. We haven't finalized anything yet. So,
that wasn't your Bucky. Is that your Bucky falling over in the background?
Not anymore. It's not a problem.
No, I just killed the coffee cup there.
See, our problem is we're in the Bible Belt, you know, and it's like Halloween in the area that we're at is not really the thing to do. Everybody wants to do the fall festivals. So we're like on the outskirts, you know. Everybody's going, oh, that's them over there, as they're secretly coming over.
You're the dirty little secret. That and their porn collection, you know.
We have a, how tall would you say the vulture is, Lynn?
14 feet.
We are working on, we got a 15-foot vulture that we're working on, sitting on top of an old tree stump that we're working on getting him lit and getting a fire possibly built in the tree stump.
I need to buy a new fog machine because I think the one that I already have, I'm going to throw it inside my monster in the box and use it there. So I need to buy one that I can set it up on a timer because I realize that's also very important. So you don't have to keep running back and trying to hit the button. Any particular fogger I might want to check out?
Cheaper is usually better because it's not... It all depends if you want the fog to be on the ground, low-lying fog, or if you want a full all-the-way-around neighborhood fog. I mean, we've used some of the industrial ones where we had three blocks full of fog. I mean, it just settled right down for three blocks, so everybody knew exactly about where we were as they were crashing to each other and, you know, hitting little kids, which is always good because then you can get their candy and run. But cheap, Walmart cheap, is usually the best way to go.
I was floored to get the mention, and I was flattered that you listened to the show. How did you end up coming across it?
Everybody was talking about it.
We were over on Hauntspace, or?
Oh. We were in a couple little blogs, and they were said, oh, have you heard this guy? You know, because Chris is just absolutely hilarious. You got to go listen to him.
Hilarious? And I don't know. What?
So then we listened to all of your shows in one night.
You need help.
No, the funny thing is, we actually burnt your show to CD so we could play it in the car. We'll go back, you know, and listen to them, you know, and, because there's always that one, like you said, one little gem hidden somewhere in there that you're just going to catch.
Next episode, I'm going to have the Davises on.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, and they sent me an email saying, oh, we love the show. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is so awesome. You know, all you guys are kind of like stars to most of this, us novice haunters, you know. We're like, oh, my God. You know, it's like meeting a celebrity. I know it's kind of, you know, stupid, but it is kind of like that, you know? You're like, oh, my God, I get to talk to the Davises or the Mitchells or, whoa, this is so cool.
You'll love it. But, I work in a hospital, and we have a lady, one of the volunteers. She's 80-something years old. She comes searching for me all over the hospital. Okay, so finally she finds me, and she goes, Sean. I said, what? She goes, did you know you're going to be on HauntCast?
What?
I said, Miss Marie, how do you know that? She goes, oh, I listen to that, Chris. He's funny. I like the Garage of Evil. I said, why are you listening to the Halloween stuff? She said, because I like it. It's funny.
She's not even a haunter. She's just listening to the show.
She's not even a haunter. And she stumbled upon your show, I guess, from our website, and she wanted to remind me that I'm going to be on that show and be prepared for it because he's tricky.
That is hilarious. How old are you? Are you in your 30s?
More than that. Yeah.
Okay, so we all grew up watching the same movies, you know?
Oh, exactly. We grew up with the Watcher in the Woods, Something Wicked This Way Comes was just coming out. We had the old classic and only three channels at the time, and your local channel, which would play horror movies all night long, so you would stay up and watch all the classic Bela Lugosi, the Boris Karloffs, the Vincent Prices. And as a kid, we, you know, even though the cover was pulled all the way up to our noses and we're just peeking out, we were staring at them, just studying them. And even Doctor Who, we watched the Dickens out of Doctor Who, watching the sets and the backgrounds. And even though they did wobble in the show, we notice now we're reproducing the same sets in our backyard haunt.
I guess it's the closest thing that you can come to being actually like a set prop designer on one of those classic horror movies.
And the good thing about being a backyard haunter is that, and the book is also kind of like this, you don't have to just use it for backyard haunting. Let's say your kid is doing a school play and they need a background of a castle. You've already got the talent and the know-how to do it. You just take it one step over. We had a lady come up to us 2 weeks ago. She had got the book. She comes up. She gives us a great big hug. I said, what was that for? And please do it again. She had to do a wedding shoot at night on the beach. And you can't have candles on the beach at night. They just get blown out. She had made our candles and had taken them to the beach to do a photo shoot.
She's probably going to use those constantly now.
And that's what really backyard haunting is. I mean, it's taking something, styrofoam, making it into something that you would never think to do with it, such as a tombstone. And then if you wanted to, take that tombstone and make something else out of it. It's constantly growing and evolving, and that's what haunting really is. Look how it's grown and evolved since the early stages of it.
The level that people are at right now, I mean, I've seen yard haunts that are better than some of the local professional haunts that I've walked into.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I see some of the artistry that's put into the yard haunts. It's because it's just the pure love of it. No, you're not making any money off it. You're blowing thousands of dollars a year on this stuff for 2 to 3 hours. You know, sometimes people like, you got, now you open up your yard earlier, right? You let people in during the day. How soon will you open your display to the public?
Probably right at dusk. I mean, it's not, for when the neighborhood's coming by, it's usually dusk till, you know, about 10 o'clock at night. So it's not very long at all.
You're not one of those haunters that will put it up a couple of weeks early.
Oh, yeah.
And give people a chance to see it. And
then weather won't let us do that.
You know.
But even when we're setting it up, we have people drop by, can we walk in and see it? Oh, yeah, come on through. So we encourage people to walk, you know, just knock on the gate and come on in. Really unique, we had a little girl come up, her and a little friend, they were looking at the cemetery, and she looks at the other one and says, these people are rich. They look at all the things they have, they bought here. They're rich. We're hearing this going, you don't have to be rich to make this stuff. Because a lot of the styrofoam was packing styrofoam that we had found where people had bought a freezer and it had styrofoam in it, and we're going, oh, you gotta throw that away? Can we have it?
I think haunters are probably the most frugal group of people. We are like pack rats. We're dumpster divers. We jump fences in the middle of the night to grab stuff that people are going to throw away because we don't want to be seen taking it in the daytime. I needed a fence, and I kind of wanted the rickety old fence, like haunted house looking versus the cemetery, which you guys do the really nice cemetery look. But I figured I wanted something easy. I was driving down the street, and somebody was throwing huge sections of, like, 6-foot sections of picket fence out. And they were just sitting there for months, but I didn't pay attention to them until I had the idea that I needed a fence in mind. I grabbed a plastic tarp, threw it over the hood of my car. I got my boys out with throwing, like, fence. Like, I'm stealing the fence, you know? Like, they're like, thanks, take the fence, you know? And I'm acting like I'm stealing it, throwing it on the hood of my car, peeling out. Get out of here. And I got the fence, yeah. You know, we are cheap son of a bitches.
Yeah, you know, we ride by, we see a house on fire, we're looking at the stuff that's left over behind going, how quickly can those firemen leave?
Okay, so Lynn and Sean, where can people get the book? The book is available where?
It's not yet on Amazon.com, but it's anywhere, anytime now it's going to be up there, and you'll be able to get it from there. But if you go to our website, you can get the Lulu link. It's being sold there right now. And eventually it'll be at both Amazon and Barnes & Noble online.
If you are a newbie haunter, even if you're a seasoned haunter, I highly recommend that you pick this thing up. It is definitely worth the money. I mean, it is just a fantastic book. So get it! Get your money out! Buy the book, damn it! Anyway, guys, thank you for being with me. I mean, seriously, I mean, it is like talking to a couple of celebrities.
Well, thank you,
thank
Chris.
You.
It would be like talking to Bruce and Demi back in the day when they were still together.
Oh.
All right, guys. Thanks for being with me, and we will catch you around the net.
Sounds good.
See you there.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Also, follow us on Instagram at hauntcast.channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at hauntcast. Join the Hauntcast Facebook group. Links are in the show notes. And it would be a big help if you could share with all your haunt brethren. Until next time, stay scary.